If you love $9 Monday and $2 Tuesday, you're really going to appreciate our new Throwback Thursday when all daily packages are slashed in half. Yes, you heard right. At both WagerTalk.com and SportsMemo.com, all Thursday daily packages are now 50% off. This means that a 4% package will be only $12.50, a 5% top-rated play, normally priced at $35, will be only $17.50, and the hottest sales item of the day, get a full day of access from the handicappers of your choice. That's one day of every applicable play they release, including any 5% best bets normally priced at $39 for only $19.50. The best part is you can come back every Thursday to take advantage of this limited time 50% off spring off.
Welcome in. A very happy Friday here as we get ready to say goodbye to the month of March. And with it, of course, we will soon be saying goodbye to college basketball, but not before we crown a national champion. Final Four and, of course, the big game still ahead of us here. And four teams remain, and we got a couple of different ways to be able to break these games coming up over the weekend down for you, and we'll do it today here on one of the final episodes of the College Basketball Tip-Off Show for this season with three of the most profitable in college hoops all year long. Adam Trigger in the house, ready to roll. He ain't done cashing tickets in college basketball just yet. Neither is Dewayne Bryant, ready, locked, loaded for what should be a fantastic Final Four weekend. And Rob Vino, I've been waiting for this for a while here, guys. Plenty of action going on across the sports betting landscape, not just college hoops, of course, NBA, NHL, not to mention, yep, the 162-game grind is underway in Major League Baseball. So a lot going on around the sports betting world there, Trig, but tell us on this Friday here, the final Friday of the month, what do you got, if anything, locked, loaded, ready to roll over at wagertalk.com?
So I have a baseball play up for tonight, 4%. It's just my second Major League Baseball release of the season. So go get that if you're looking for baseball. College hoop, it's been a tremendous season for me at Wager Talk. Had a great run through the NCAA tournament. I'm number one in college basketball right now for the season. And I'm going to give you my 4%er for the Final Four for free. I appreciate all the support all year long. And I've got one play for Saturday. I'm going to give it out on the show here. So stay tuned till the end.
Outstanding. All right. And don't forget, Trig, he'll also have plenty coming up. KBO is here as well as the MLB. I can assure you.
Oh, I might, Joe. I'll probably have KBO tonight, too. They are getting – the lines come out later and later. So now it's like a lot of times 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're still not out. So if we're waiting for the line. But I'll probably have a KBO play as well.
I would expect nothing less. Outstanding trade there. Dewayne Bryant, what is going on here, my man, as we head into this Final Four weekend? Still, of course, we'll have a national championship game. What do you have available right now at your page at wagertalk.com for folks?
I do have two MLB plays that are out for subscribers. I do have a 5% NBA max bet that is up on my page right now. I also have a special deal going on right now where you'll get 50% off a 7-day all access or longer sub by using coupon code DB50 at checkout. That coupon code can be used as many times as you'd like through midnight tonight. It's a great way to join me long term at half the price. It includes my NCAA Final Four and title game plays. I'm hitting 63% in the NCAA tournament. It also includes any and all NBA and MLB plays. Again, it's coupon code DB50. Gets you 50% off my all-access packages 7 days or longer. You can use it as many times as you want from now through midnight tonight. Dwayne Bryant, wagertalk.com.
All right, good stuff there, Dwayne. And Vino, almost done here. College hoops, though, but plenty of NBA playoff action just around the corner. And, of course, Major League Baseball underway now. And what do you have available tonight for us here at your page over at wagertalk.com?
NBA up and available right now, Joe, over at wagertalk.com. One play, but it's bound to be more than one. Again, you know the routine I go through. We sit on these injury reports each and every day. But I see two more that are probably going to be there, including one prop. XFL. How about that, Joe? XFL. Yeah. Not a whole bunch of us doing it here at Wager Talk, but sit atop the leaderboard in XFL handicapping at Wager Talk this year. We have a play tonight, Friday night game. College hoop, it's going to go up right after this. I waited on this almost all week to get these plays up, but we are going to have the NCAA Final Four action. Adam, number one at Wager Talk. Number two, I guess I'll take that seat, plus 74.6 units of profit here on the season. But I'll separate it out and say that I am number one in college hoop totals for the season, and one of the plays tomorrow will be a total. So looking forward to it, Joe. It's been a really good run in college hoops so far this year. And like you said, hate to see it go, especially with, you know, my beloved UConn Huskies sitting here in the Final Four.
Yeah, no, it is. It has been a very long and crazy ride here, guys, to get us to this particular point in college hoops. So without any further ado, let's tackle these games and see what we can come up with here. And the first one up is going to be the first game, in fact, tomorrow there, just after 6 o'clock Eastern time. Get ready for the FAU Owls. Get ready to take on San Diego State. 2.5 now. This thing start creeping up to 3 a little earlier here this morning. And 131.5, I did see that creep up to 132 as well. So intriguing that the money's starting to come in and push these numbers a half a point either which way. But it's at it's in Houston, Texas here. So we go from basketball arenas to football arenas. It's about that time there, Adam Trigger. So FAU. And by the way, Dusty May, I believe, just signed an extension too as well. So no need for anybody at FAU to have to worry about him jumping ship like every other mid-major coach does if they make it to this point of the season. What are you going to do here, Trig? FAU taking on San Diego State. What are we looking at?
Well, Joe, the move here, so I just want to start off with the line, which I disagree with. And I know what it's from, and I'm just not sure that the quote-unquote group that gets everyone to play at the same time and then moves the line, mm-hmm, it should be moving a line in the national semifinal game on a side. So right there, I already think that Florida Atlantic has line value at 3, which is where I played this and gave it out to my client. So I am on Florida Atlantic plus 3, even 2.5. If you're seeing 2.5 shop around, maybe wait a little bit. I think you'll probably see 3 again at some point. The reason I'm willing to go against San Diego State here, I just don't think that they can sort of ride this. Like, listen, their three-point defense is very good, but the rate at which teams are missing three-pointers against them is also quite lucky, in my opinion. In the tournament, Joe, teams are shooting 17% from 3 against San Diego State. Now, some of that is good defense, but I would say some of that is also a little bit of good fortune, where we may see some regression toward the mean there. The last two games, teams are 5-for-44 from three-point range against San Diego State. I mean, it'd just be shocking if that were to continue. Florida Atlantic, I mean, they're not going to light you up from 3, but this has been a team that's a top 50 team nationally, three-point shooting this season, 36.7%. So it's possible that they hit a few of them, and there's guards on this Florida Atlantic team that can shoot the ball. So I don't think them getting hot from distance is out of the question. But, Joe, that's not the only way that Florida Atlantic can win this game. They're a top 15 rebounding team. They're going to neutralize San Diego State's ability to rebound a little bit. And listen, like, San Diego State is, they're a physical team. They're going to eliminate second chance opportunities. They're tough. But look at what Florida Atlantic has beat so far in this tournament, right? Tennessee, Kansas State, Memphis, teams that are athletic, teams that are tough. I don't see a huge difference here. It's not like you've got, this isn't like a David versus Goliath thing. The Conference USA was, you know, I would say on par with the Mountain West. Mountain West probably a little bit better, but top to bottom, Conference USA was very good this year. And you're seeing it in these postseason tournaments. Look at UAB and North Texas both going to the NIT final and a Conference USA team winning the other small tournament in Charlotte, winning the CBI. I make this closer to a pick. You're going to give me +3 on a neutral court in a game that's probably lower scoring. So the points are a little bit at a premium. I think that's a key number that I'm willing to get involved with. So Florida Atlantic, Joe, I've been backing them this whole tournament. They've been making me money this whole tournament. I see no reason to not take another shot with them here. So I took the +3 with the Florida Atlantic Owls. I like their depth. I like the fact that they've got 7 guys that are all really, really quality players. I think their backcourt is better. And I just trust them more than San Diego State. Matt Bradley hasn't been great. And I don't know that there's a ton of scoring options on that team. I don't think San Diego State can tough this one out, Joe. I think Florida Atlantic is just as tough. And I'll take the 3 in a game the Owls can definitely win.
FAU for Trigg here. Getting ready to take on the Aztecs. Yep, 2.5 threes, guys, in the marketplace. But the question is, how do you approach this one here? Dwayne, are you leaning one way or the other? San Diego State, FAU, a total? How do you go at it?
I'm looking at the total. San Diego State sure has faced some three-point heavy teams in this tournament. College of Charleston, Furman, Alabama, Creighton, all teams that shoot a lot of three-pointers when compared to their total number of field goal attempts. And so far, San Diego State has been up to the challenge. I mean, they're number 2 out of 363 teams in the nation in three-point shooting percentage allowed. Through 4 rounds in this tournament, they've proved that they've earned that number 2 ranking. But that three-point defense is going to get tested a little bit here. FAU shoots the three-pointer better than the 4 opponents that San Diego State has seen so far. And the San Diego State defense gets a lot of publicity, and for good reason. They deserve it. But this Florida Atlantic defense is no joke either. They actually own the nation's number 15 effective field goal percentage allowed, and that actually ranks better than San Diego State. And of Florida Atlantic's 4 opponents in this tournament so far, only Tennessee plays at a slow pace similar to that of San Diego State. There were only 117 total points scored in that game in the Sweet 16 round. Most bettors, they look at offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, and pace numbers when looking to bet totals. But I think something that gets overlooked sometimes is a team's defensive possession length as well, because I think that's also important. You know, basically, how long do they make opposing teams work to get off a shot? San Diego State ranks 345th out of 363 teams in average defensive possession length. So they really make teams work to get off a shot. And Florida Atlantic isn't too far behind. They're number 280 in that same category. The under has cashed in San Diego State's last 12 games. And I certainly can't bet against a streak of that size, especially considering that Florida Atlantic's defense is pretty damn good in its own right. So the only way I can look at this game is to look to the under.
Under it is, 132, 131 and a half in the marketplace. A true if it ain't broke, don't fix it, people with San Diego State and their totals. But how about you, Rob Vino, here? A couple of different ways to approach this matchup. First half, full game. I know you're working on them all. So tell me, which side might you be looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's been said ahead of me, I totally agree with it. And this game is a difficult handicap for sure. San Diego State has allowed 79 field goals in this entire tournament. That's by far and away the best of any defense. I mean, never mind the three-point shooting. Let's just talk baskets made against the team. 79 against SDSU, 100 made against Florida Atlantic. So there's a pretty decisive gap right there. The three-point numbers have been discussed here. No reason to bring them up again. I'll bring this up, though, Joe. You know, again, we're in NRG Stadium. We're in front of 70,000 fans. San Diego State starts four seniors. The other side starts three sophomores. Which side might get a little more nervous? Probably the three sophomores, the kids that haven't been together as long. San Diego State's group under Brian Dutcher has been together quite some time here. So I think maybe veteran experience could have a bit of an edge down the stretch if this thing is tight, so to speak. Both of these teams have really traveled the same road throughout this tournament, right? They get behind. They're able to come back. They're able to make second half adjustments. They're able to come up clutch in big times. Remember, FAU is one shade from not even making it out of the first round against Memphis. That game really, you know, anybody else but Penny Hardaway on the sidelines in Memphis probably wins that game. But they're here. They're going to play SDSU. I think the free throws in this tournament are important because this could come down to free throws. Florida Atlantic, for what it's worth, has shot 15 more than their opponents have. San Diego State, for a team, Joe, to have four wins in four games and be outshot at the free throw line, it makes no sense, right? I mean, in these tournament games, you should be the team getting fouled at the end of the game, and you should be accumulating more free throws overall than your opponent. But not in the case of SDSU. They shot six total against Creighton. So that could be somewhat of a concern. I like Dwayne's point. It was one that I would have made here about this game, this opponent, San Diego State, being most comparable to Tennessee. I think that's, you know, without Zakai Ziegler, San Diego State and Tennessee are probably on equal par. And so with a game that hit only 117, this thing sits at 131.5. I just can't see it getting there. At some point in time, it drags. And I know, you know, there's always the opportunity for both of these squads to get hot and make shots. But are they going to get hot and make shots again in the football stadium their first time out? I know they're practicing there today. I don't know, Joe. I think it's probably too tight. I would say the team that would play a little looser when it counts most would be the San Diego State side. So if I were to play side, I'd probably lean them, but I'd prefer to play total under. I just think the defenses take hold here, and we see somewhat of a defensive style game. Like we've seen, San Diego State's 4-0 to the under this tournament. Why not 5-0?
Amen to that. Full game again, 132, 131.5. First half's 61, 60.5, somewhere in that ballpark, with San Diego State laying 1.5 in the first half. So bunch of different ways to approach that one. FAU taking on San Diego State. That'll be your first Final Four matchup leading to, of course, that second one. And that's going to be UConn, the Huskies, taking on the U, the University of Miami. 5.5 still very prevalent in the marketplace. 149. Is your total here in this one? And we've seen some 148s or 149.5, depending. It's kind of been bouncing back and forth a little bit all week long there with the total perspective. But Houston, here comes UConn. I believe this will be the fifth national championship game held in the state of Texas. And yeah, UConn's won three of them in Texas. So they like the Lone Star State there, good old UConn Trig. So they are going to have another opportunity, but they got to get past Miami here. 5.5. What are you looking at in this one?
Well, Joe, I've got my 30-1 UConn ticket to win the whole thing that I placed back in February. I am looking for one single reason why I think Miami can win this game. I couldn't find one. Now, could they hang around and somehow get in with the number? Of course. Are their guards really good, and could they just shoot out of their minds, make every play and win? I guess so. But if you're just going to break this game down, look at one team next to the other and talk about, you know, what these teams do and the way that this game should play out, it's really difficult to see Miami hanging around here. I think that the reason this line hasn't moved yet is the books are anticipating some Miami money, since the public has really enjoyed betting this team all tournament. So right now you can still get a good number. Like it's 5, 5.5. I actually thought this was going to go up 6.5, 7, and it hasn't yet for that reason. But UConn, I mean, They're just such a complete team, and they're such a complete team in relation to the teams we still have left. Miami, you go back to the Texas game, the last 9 minutes or so, they really just turned up the intensity on defense. They were able to sort of catch Texas in almost a bit of like, there should have been like a timeout. And this is where I go back to like Rodney Terry, just like if Chris Beard's coaching that game, there's probably a timeout. There's probably an adjustment made and Texas likely finds a way to win. Rodney Terry's not a great basketball coach, in my opinion. And Jim Larrañaga, who is, just destroyed him. Dan Hurley's not going to let that happen. And UConn has an answer, in my opinion, to anything Miami could do. UConn, their size, Sanogo inside. They've got a 7-2 guy in Donovan Klingon that plays 12 minutes a game that could easily go 18 or 19 if they needed him. There's no way, in my opinion, that Miami is going to be able to hang around on the glass here like they did against Texas. UConn should just demolish them on the glass, rebounding the basketball. One of the best rebounding teams in the country. We've seen all tournament UConn make second half adjustments. And even if Miami has them on the ropes in the first half, I really think this UConn team's got the ability to adjust and then, you know, they can play through Sanogo. They've got shot makers all over the floor. In my opinion, 7 or 8 guys that would start on most teams in the country. Interesting stat I found, Joe. UConn against teams not in the Big East this year, 15-0 against the spread. So that anyone that doesn't really know them extremely well, they've absolutely dominated. And, I mean, Norchad Omir is a fantastic big, but outside of him, I just don't see how Miami has any answer for what UConn can do in the paint at either end of the floor. And if Omir, God forbid, gets in foul trouble, there's zero answer for Miami there, whereas UConn, they, like I said, Sanogo, they can go Klingon. They've got 7 or 8 guys that are just, you know, would start on most teams in the country. I think that UConn is a far superior team. Miami is not going to be able, in my opinion, to just like go 25, 30 minutes like we've seen against Drake, now against Texas, and let a team score on them and think they're going to just turn it up and get back in this game. So, Joe, I can't bet Miami here. I get it, 5.5, they could hang around. The guard play is really good for the Hurricanes. But UConn is a far superior team. It's the only way I could play this game. It would be UConn. Right.
Looking at UConn there, and 5.5, and that total's intriguing as well there, Dwayne. Is there a side or a total aspect in this one you're looking at?
I mean, UConn has been absolutely dominant in this tournament. They've won their 4 games by an average of 22.5 points per game. And most impressive of all was how they just smashed Gonzaga by 28 points in the Elite Eight game. KenPom has had this UConn team ranked in the top 6 since the beginning of December. Even when the Huskies went through a 1-5 stretch from New Year's Eve through mid-January, they still didn't fall further than 6th. This team can do it all. UConn is just a complete team. I mean, what's their weakness? That they let teams get to the free throw line pretty often? I mean, I can live with that. I mean, even against a team that shoots free throws very well, like Miami. And speaking of Miami, I mean, I have to admit, I underestimated this team. I mean, I know great guard play wins in this tournament, and the Canes have a strong trio of guards in Wong, Pack, and Miller. But I bet against this team in the last 2 rounds, and they made me pay both times. The Canes smashed #1 seed Houston. And then most recently, they erased that 13-point second-half deficit and beat Texas. And going into that game, Texas had been 22-0 this season when leading at halftime. You know, the one knock on this Miami team has been its defense. They were ranked 104th out of 363 teams in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom, 246th in two-point shooting percentage allowed. But Miami's really stepped up on the defensive end of the floor in this tournament. Despite playing up-tempo games, they've held their 4 opponents in this tournament to 70 points per game on 42.3% shooting from the field. They've only allowed 32.4% from three-point range. The bottom line for me is I love this UConn team. I don't know if I'm going to get there with them yet. But I've been burned twice in a row now betting against this Miami team, so I'm admittedly a little gun-shy at this point. I've got, 24 hours to get over that, I suppose. This is going to be a fun game to watch, I think. I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to bet it. For the sake of the show here, though, I mean, I'll say that if I was an action junkie, I mean, I might put a pizza money bet on the over since I'm going to be watching this game. I mean, who wants to bet the under on a game they'll be watching from start to finish, right? That's where I'm at with this game right now. Like I said, I still have some time to change my mind. I do lean, though, UConn on the side. I just got to get over the two tickets that Miami had me tearing up in the last two rounds.
It's a great end to the Final Four there, that's for sure. I mean, the appetizer and then the main course here, Vito, with UConn and Miami. It's an intriguing battle. I mean, hell, you and I talked about it earlier, Vino. If this was a seven-game series, there wouldn't be a question. UConn wins, period. They're the better team. But in a one-game play, winner-takes-all situation, and anything can happen, it makes this one tough. How do you approach it?
Yeah, it does, Joe. And if you're going to bet this game, if you're somebody who goes to ATS numbers and trends and underdog numbers, then you're on Miami, right? Their numbers are incredible. Like you say, we talked about this the other day. The numbers that Miami has posted against the spread the last 2 years, and especially in the underdog role, are without question knee-jerk mechanical material to just run to the window and bet Miami. If you're going to bet this game on fundamentals and matchups, then I don't know that you're betting Miami. You're betting UConn. So two different schools of thinking here, all different kinds of handicaps involved. I'll say this. Miami showed us last game, right? Texas thought they had the answer. Run Miami's offense off the three-point line and we'll win. They ran them off the three-point line. They built a 13-point lead, and Jim Larrañaga and his team just decided, all right, we got a bunch of one-on-one NBA players. We'll drive to the hoop, and you know what we'll do? We'll just collect free throws, make baskets, and live at the free throw line, and they did. So they can beat you multiple ways. For UConn, it's not good enough just to defend the perimeter here. Got to have a lot of good one-on-one defense. And UConn hasn't faced teams like this in this tournament, right? St. Mary's is not a team with a batch of one-on-one offensive machines, nor is Iona. Arkansas, you might say there's a couple. Gonzaga, certainly there are not. So it's a different style of opponent here for Connecticut. That's not to say that they can't handle them, because they probably can. I think in the last game, not having Dylan Dessou for Texas was huge. I mean, when Omir went to the bench, it should have been advantage Texas, except at that time, Christian Bishop got himself in foul trouble. He was having a good game. And then it just became a game of smalls against one another. And I feel like, Marcus Carr and Teddy Allen probably tried to do a little bit too much for Texas on the offensive end. A lot of one-on-one. They started turning the ball over. Didn't help them at all. For UConn, Adam mentioned it. You got to deal with Sonogo. But if Sonogo goes to the bench, Klingon comes in, and he could start on most of these teams that were in the tournament. So they've got answers all over the floor. Miami doesn't have as many answers here. I know, you talk to certain people and they tell you that in these tournaments, depth doesn't mean anything because there's 4-minute TV timeouts. But they always fail to remember that foul trouble affects your depth. And so for Miami, they've all got to stay on the floor here. I'm not so sure that they can. Little fearful of Jim Larrañaga. I mean, Danny Hurley's a good coach, but he's not Jim Larrañaga. And Jim Larrañaga beat UConn when he was with George Mason. So a little bit fearful there. But in the end, Miami, to me, Joe, they can only win one way. They have to outscore you. And unfortunately for them, UConn will run as much as Miami will, and UConn probably will run better than Miami will. So what Miami does best, UConn does equally well or better. And then the defensive disparity, there's just no discussion there who the better defensive team is. So for me, it would probably be UConn. I think they're 6 points better for a whole bunch of reasons, and we'll see if they can defend everything that Miami does. Again, shooting venue, background venue, maybe it stops Miami a little bit offensively, but I'm not so sure of that. I'd be in agreement with Dwayne that over is probably the way you want to bet this game, just simply based on number of opportunities to score that you'll have here, either three-point, transition, free throw line. Going to be a lot of ways, a lot of availability for points in this game.
So, listen, I hope there's 200 points. It'll be the game of no matter what happens in a final, this will be the best game period here. I want to ask before we just take it and reiterate the best side for you guys here in this game. Trick, I want to ask you, because one of the other angles we've been looking at all week long is who is the most outstanding player award. And I think that's obviously correlated with whoever you have winning it, right? So if it's UConn, it's intriguing. Is it Sanogo in your mind that will be the guy that that lands it? Will it be Andre Jackson Jr.? Will it be Hawkins? There are some numbers that are available with these guys that are pretty intriguing, and they're obviously correlated. Are you leaning one way or the other, and who might take down the most outstanding player?
Joe, I have a hard time. I have a hard time capping like player awards. It's just not something that I do, but I'm glad you gave me another chance to speak, because I just want to throw out there that if you right now, if you shop around and you can find UConn better than like, there are some rogue numbers out there. There's some minus 110, minus 115s out there at some books on them to win the whole thing. I think that's a great bet. It's up to minus 130, minus 135. It seems like it wouldn't be a good bet because you essentially are taking a minus price. But given what they'll likely be in the final, especially if Florida Atlantic were to win, which I think they will, if they, you know, they'd be a 7.5-point favorite in the championship game most likely. Probably -4.5 over San Diego State. I still think that that's a UConn to win this thing. If you can get like anything, minus 110, minus 115, even minus 120, I would go ahead and take that. Minus 135, like obviously, you know, it's still the same thing. You're still going to need them to win. It starts to get a little too, you know, juiced up. But I think like UConn as close to a pick as possible to win this thing is still a pretty good bet, in my opinion.
Plus 260 for Sanogo, Vino. If UConn runs the table, I don't know how. Because, listen, if he's going to be a big part in beating Miami, and whoever shows up on the other side, he's going to be an even bigger part, especially if it's San Diego State or having to go up against Golden. I don't know that UConn wins if Sanogo doesn't show up here. At plus 260, if you got UConn to win it, I don't know, Vino. It seems like a bet you got to make here.
Well, you'd have to get inside Larrañaga's head, right, and figure out what he wants to take away from UConn. If he chooses that he thinks Sanogo is their most effective weapon and they decide to help Omer with him a little bit and keep him somewhat quiet or contained, then there's other avenues for Connecticut. If there was another avenue, to me, it would be Jordan Hawkins. I mean, we just saw Sir Jabari Rice have so many open looks for Texas and just drain those things. And the way Jordan Hawkins is shooting in this tournament has been really, really good last three games. So he would probably be the alternative to Sanogo. I would think that if you're Larrañaga, and maybe Jim Larrañaga is just going to play these guys straight up because they have so many options. Who knows? It's tough to get inside the coach's head. I'm not at practice, but I'm with you. Sanogo at almost, I mean, better than 2.5 to 1. Nice price. I don't know what Hawkins is, but you could probably bet them both because I'm sure he's
about
more than
the same price,
more than 3 to 1. So you bet them both and secure a profit.
Yep. They are the heart and soul of what that team does, and they are matchup nightmares for the remaining team. So don't discount that market either, guys. It'll correlate well with whoever you have advancing and winning it all here, and that of course will be on Monday. But before we get there, let's see if there is a bet you guys like a little bit more than the rest over here. And Dwayne, kick us off here. I know you're leaning the over in the Miami UConn game, but what's the bet you're most confident on here for us?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was going to say that the under on that FAU-San Diego State game is the one I'm more confident in. Just looking, again, San Diego State's gone under in 12 straight games. You're not going to make money betting if you're going to try to predict when a streak is going to end. You're going to make a lot more money riding a streak. I'm sure not going to go against a streak that long. And again, you look at the Florida Atlantic game against Tennessee in this tournament, and I think that's about what you can expect to see in this game tomorrow. They only had 117 total points in that Florida Atlantic Tennessee game. I think Tennessee is the most comparable team to San Diego State that FAU has faced. So I'm expecting a similar result points-wise. So, I mean, I'll take the under in that game for sure.
Under it is. All right, Trigg, I'm guessing the FAU side is the way you're going to look here.
That's right, Joe. FAU, 4% play for me. Probably my, most likely my last college basketball play of the season unless I get a matchup and number I like in the final. But yeah, I took the +3 with Florida Atlantic. I didn't agree with the move to 3. I make this more like a pick. And just to expound on what I talked about earlier, Florida Atlantic, they can play slow. They can play fast. I don't think San Diego State's going to be able to really, put them in a scenario where they're uncomfortable. Florida Atlantic is, a lot of these guys have been playing together for a couple years, so I'm not sure that, San Diego State's experience is going to outweigh just, the cohesiveness of this Florida Atlantic team. And a lot of people don't realize that Florida Atlantic goes far deeper than their couple top players. I mean, this is a team that has 7 or 8 really strong players. They have multiple guards in the backcourt. I would argue that their backcourt is better than San Diego State's top to bottom. Matt Bradley hasn't played great lately. And, you look up and down that San Diego State roster from a scoring perspective, not a ton of consistency there. So, outside of him, I wonder if San Diego State if they're going to have the answers. Florida Atlantic is they're a solid defensive team as well. They defend the rim. They're good in the paint. So San Diego State's going to have to hit jump shots here to win this game. And I don't know that that's a given. Of course, it's not a given that Florida Atlantic is going to come out and light it up either, Joe. But this is a team that can shoot. They've been a top 53-point shooting team this year. And at some point, some of these threes are going to go in against San Diego State. Why not? Why not in this game? But if they're not hitting the threes, Florida Atlantic has shown that they can do it in other ways. They abused Tennessee on the glass, got a bunch of offensive rebounds. San Diego State, that's one of their strengths, is eliminating offensive boards and cleaning up the glass. But some of that's going to be neutralized by Florida Atlantic here. In the end, I have these two teams roughly even. We're in a national semifinal on a neutral court. I don't see any reason that Florida Atlantic should be catching 3 here. 3 is a pretty key number. The other two guys did a great job of outlining that points probably are at a premium in this game. So why not give me those 3 points that I think maybe are even a little bit more valuable than they usually are? Florida Atlantic +3, 4% best bet for me. And like I said, I do think they win this game, but the +3 is real valuable here.
Yeah, amen to that. You've got Vino. Which one of these games might you be leaning towards a little more than the other?
Wow. A couple of ways to go here, Joe. And just, we were talking before about championship game, most valuable player or whatever. I think back a couple of years ago when Dante DiVincenzo out of nowhere lit it up for Villanova. And yep. If UConn gets there, your long shot here would be Calcaterra or Connecticut. He's kind of out of that DiVincenzo mold where he's never met a shot he didn't like. And you saw him the other night when he started making a few. there could be 6 go in for him, too, the way they did for Dante that night. So that's a possible long shot if we get there on Monday night. I hate to stick in the same game that the other two guys were already in, but I'll stay there and I'll just go a different way. These two teams are 6-2 to the under combined in this tournament where first half is concerned. You can catch 60.5 as a first half total right now, which means 30 aside, you still cash your ticket if it's 30-30 at halftime. The chances of this game being 30-30 at halftime, in my estimation, aren't very good. They'll probably both be in the 20s, really, when you consider the new venue. You consider the early jitters that are potential for both sides here. Certainly not programs that are used to being in this particular spotlight at all. Head coaches are good. I'm sure, Dutcher's been around a long time, right? Way back to the Fab Five. So maybe he can relax his team a little bit more. But I just think 60.5 is probably too high for a first half here for teams that haven't come out of the chute, really hitting the ground running. And when you go through their second half numbers, for those that want to be patient and just wait till halftime, I don't even know that there's an edge there, because both of these teams have covered at an incredible rate in the second half. I think San Diego State and FAU are both 3-1 against the spread second half in this tournament. So credit to both head coaches. I would prefer to stay in the first half and take under 60.5. Shop it around because those 60.5s are available there. Don't get stuck on a 60 and, you know, 31-29 not be able to cash. So I'm going to go first half under FAU San Diego State.
Not a bad way to look there, guys. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there you got it. I mean, two games this weekend. Then, of course, championship game on Monday. But more importantly, guys, best bets all weekend long available for you here across the sports betting landscape. And whether that be, oh, I don't know, let's say Major League Baseball off and running, the NBA, and of course, NHL still going on here, but we will have a championship game on Monday. Ready to go. Which do these two teams advance? And then, of course, we'll have some numbers, and we'll meet up again here on Monday one final time here for the NBA tip-off show and see
Good. So Jordan Hawkins is at his hotel room. I guess he's dealing with an illness in practice today. So Rob probably kind of nailed it. If you were going to take a shot and someone was going to get more minutes with Hawkins out,
it would have to be. Yep.
I don't think he's going to be out. I think you'd have, I think he'd have to be dead to not play in that game tomorrow. But like his minutes might be, you know what I'm saying? Like his limits might, minutes might be limited a little bit. And who's going to benefit from that? Probably Calcaterra. So just another thought right there.
Yeah, no, that's a good situation to keep following there, guys, because listen, hey, if they're going to win this game, somebody's got to step up. And these numbers are pretty decent here. Even Andre Jackson, his numbers are 15-1 right now. So there are a few guys on UConn if you like them to win it all. And then, of course, Miami's got a few at pretty good numbers, too. So San Diego State is intriguing. Don't ignore that market. Opportunities will present themselves, and we'll be back again on Monday, of course, breaking it all down for the championship game, one final college basketball tip-off show. Until then, on behalf of Adam Trigger, Rob Vino, and Dwayne Bryant, guys, we appreciate all the support. We appreciate the time. We wish you nothing but the best of luck here this weekend. We'll talk to you again one final time on Monday, guys. Enjoy. Good luck.
If you love $9 Monday and $2 Tuesday, you're really going to appreciate our new Throwback Thursday when all daily packages are slashed in half. Yes, you heard right. At both WagerTalk.com and SportsMemo.com, all Thursday daily packages are now 50% off. This means that a 4% package will be only $12.50, a 5% top-rated play, normally priced at $35, will be only $17.50, and the hottest sales item of the day, get a full day of access from the handicappers of your choice. That's one day of every applicable play they release, including any 5% best bets normally priced at $39 for only $19.50. The best part is you can come back every Thursday to take advantage of this limited time 50% off spring offer.